Welcome to the Vision Church Podcast. We're so thankful that you're taking some time today to listen. We pray that this week's message challenges you to press in deeper with your pursuit of Christ. Our mission at Vision Church is to go and make disciples. You can help us in this mission by rating this podcast and sharing it with the world via social media. We want to reach the lost by raising up the found. Thank you again for tuning in today and enjoy the message.
Continue into our second week of our series called The Names of God. And I really felt strongly impressed on my heart to tell you about the nature and the identity of your God. And look, when we look at creation all around us, the stars that illuminate the skies, the mountains, the seashores, when we look at creation, it obviously displays that there is intelligent design. There is a craftsman. There is a creator. But it is only through the lens of the Holy Bible that we begin to understand who this God really is, who this creator truly is. And with every name that we uncover through this series, I believe you're going to see a facet of God's character and personality that you maybe have never seen or never known of before. And I'm gonna tell you something, I'm praying and believing that when we're done with this series, that all of us stand in awe and holy amazement of the wonder and the beauty of our God. Tonight, we're gonna talk about just one name tonight, and it is the name Jehovah Raha. The name Jehovah Raha, and I think we got it right there. Good job up there. Some of you were asking, how do we spell these names? So we created some slides just so that you would know how to spell it. Jehovah Raha, which means the Lord, my shepherd. Look at your neighbor with a little attitude and say, he is the Lord, my shepherd. He is the Lord, my shepherd. Psalm chapter 23, beginning in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows, and he leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength, and he guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil, and my cup overflows with blessing. Surely your goodness and unfailing love pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Can we just give God praise right there? What a beautiful passage. My goodness. He is Jehovah Raha. He is the Lord, my shepherd. Now, when you're reading the Bible in your own time, you're not gonna accidentally stumble across the name Jehovah Raha. You're just not gonna see it. And that's because the Bible was not written in English. The Bible was written in Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic. And the Hebrew word Jehovah Raha was on the original manuscripts. Where you read God in English, we have one word, God. There were many names in the Hebrew language, and one of them is Jehovah Raha. God is so magnificent and so incredible that just one name will not do him justice. And with every name, we see a different facet of his character revealed. Tonight, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna preach through Psalm 23. There's six verses that I just read to you, and we're gonna extract the truth about Jehovah Raha, the Lord my shepherd, in each verse. Verse number one, the Lord is my shepherd, and I have all that I need. The first thing I wanna draw your attention to in scripture is that if the Lord is your shepherd, the Bible is calling you a sheep. Look at your neighbor one more time and tell them the Bible just called you a sheep. And I'm gonna tell you why. Here are a few characteristics of sheep. Number one, they are totally dependent upon the shepherd. You might think you're tough and you might think you are a bad dude or a bad woman, but let me tell you, it is in him that you live, move, and have your being. It is he who holds all creation together. It is God who keeps your lungs breathing and your heart beating. It is the Lord your God who sustains your life. We are utterly and totally dependent on him. The Bible also calls you a sheep because the sheep are just a little bit stubborn. Can I get a witness? Anybody know you're stubborn? Self-diagnosed in the house tonight. All the husbands just rose their hands. It's gonna be a long car ride home for you, gentlemen. You should have kept it down. All right. The Bible calls us a sheep because we are restless and we're always looking for greener pastures. We're always looking for what's next, always looking for what's new. Sheep become restless and they're always relentlessly looking for the next best thing. I think the Bible got you on that, didn't it? It knows us. Another reason the Bible calls us a sheep is because sheep are prone to wander. The Bible says in Isaiah, all of us like sheep have gone astray. We have all rejected his path to follow after our own. And one of the most sobering reasons that the Bible calls you and I a sheep is that sheep are oblivious to danger. Sheep are oblivious to danger. They will wander out of the fold. They will wander off on their own path and they will be completely unaware of the impending danger that lurks around them. I say this all the time, but if you've ever watched the Animal Channel or the Animal Planet or National Geographic, you know bad things happen when sheep wander off on their own. There's safety in the flock. There's safety there together. The Bible calls us sheep, and it is a dangerous and scary thing for us to live like sheep without a shepherd. We are scattered, left to our own devices. Proverbs says there's a way before every man that seems to be right, but the end therein is death. Scripture also wants you to be acutely aware that there is an enemy, there is an adversary spiritually who seeks to steal, kill, and destroy you. I know you don't believe in the devil. I know you don't believe in demons. You think you don't believe in it. And the truth is, that's exactly how Satan wants it. He operates best in obscurity. He doesn't want you to be aware. He would be just fine. People think that Satan wants people to bow and worship him. No, he doesn't. Satan doesn't want you to even believe in him, so that he can operate in obscurity, deceive you, and lead you astray. The Bible warns from Genesis to Revelation, there is an adversary of your soul that roams like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. We are like sheep, but I've got good news tonight. We are not sheep without a shepherd. We have Jehovah Raha. The Lord is my shepherd. He is my protector and my guide. I want to just show you a few more powerful realities about verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I want to read to you a verse, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. I want you to know that your good shepherd cares deeply about every detail of your life. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether to worry if you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and the body that you put on your the clothing you put on your body? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, yet their heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all of your worries add a single moment to your life? Question mark. All I want you to see right here is that if his eyes are on the sparrow, how much more are his eyes fixed upon you? If he cares about the bird and the fowl of the air, how much more does he care about you? The Bible says, why do you worry about all of these things in the world? Why are you letting anxiety and depression overwhelm you? Don't you realize that your God is Jehovah Raha? He is the Lord, your shepherd. He protects you, he shields you, and he guides you. And if God be for you, who in this world could be against you? The sparrows don't worry where their next meal will come from. The lily of the valleys don't worry where their next clothing articles are gonna come from. They're more well taken care of than anybody on earth. And that is because the Lord's eye is on them. And I want you to know tonight, if God's eye is on the sparrow, how much more is his eye on you? Because Ephesians 2 says that you are the masterpiece of creation. You're his masterpiece. The Lord is my shepherd, and I have all that I need. Notice, and I've said this here before, but notice that the Bible doesn't say, the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I want. It says, I have everything I need. You may not have every single thing you want, but the Lord has given you everything you will ever need. Sheep are restlessly looking for the next green pasture. Sheep are restlessly looking for the next best thing. What's new? What's next? What's coming? Sheep are so distracted thinking about, looking about what's coming that sometimes they miss what's right in front of them. And I believe that one of the greatest tactics of the enemy is to rob you of the present. He wants to rob you of this moment. He wants you so distracted, so worried, so overwhelmed with things that you cannot control that you miss the very presence of God right here and right now in this moment. I want to encourage you, cast your worries at the feet of God. Be fully aware, be fully present in this moment tonight, and let the Lord meet you right where you are. The truth is that we're like sheep. We're always looking for the next best thing because we're always empty, and we're looking for this world to satisfy us. And I'll tell you tonight that nothing in this world will ever be enough to satisfy you. No matter how much wealth you accumulate, no matter how famous you are, no matter how many followers you have on the gram, it doesn't matter. It will all leave you empty. There's only one thing that can satisfy you, and it is Jehovah Raha. It is the Lord, your shepherd. You and I were created with a void so large that only God himself can satisfy it. We must be content where we are and be content with what we have. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, he says, not that I was ever in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. For I know how to live with almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or an empty, with plenty or little, for I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. We must learn to be content with whatever we have, knowing that he is our shepherd, he is our provider. All right, verse 2 of Psalm 23 says this, he lets me rest in green meadows and he leads me beside peaceful streams. Oh, I love this right here. He lets me rest. Look at your neighbor and tell him he lets me rest. Today in our world, we pride ourselves in being busy, pride ourselves in being super busy. But really, when you're overly busy, you're distracted. When do you ever read Jesus being too busy? Was Jesus too busy for blind Bartimaeus on the road to Jericho? Was Jesus too busy for Zacchaeus who climbed in the tree? Was Jesus too busy for the woman with the issue of blood? How many of you are thankful God's not too busy? There's nothing wrong with resting. But let me take this a layer deeper because here's what it really means. Psalm 23 says that the good shepherd makes his sheep lie down in green pastures that they may rest. And here's what it means. We read that in 2020 and we're like, say what? I'm not laying down in the ground, that's gross. Here's what it means. It's foreshadowing and pointing forward to the cross of Calvary, and it is saying that the price has already been paid in full for your salvation and in mine. Do y'all remember the series in Galatians, in Christ alone? The whole point of the book of Galatians is that Christ paid the penalty of debt in full. He died for us on the cross. Our salvation is paid for. The work is finished. We cannot strive, strain, work hard enough to earn God's approval. The good shepherd causes you to lay down with the revelation that you have been paid for, your sins have been forgiven, the debt that you incurred is fully satisfied through the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ the Lord. I wish somebody would give him praise tonight if you're thankful that he paid your price in full. Somebody needs to hear me tonight. You think that God is more pleased with you by you keeping the law, by you being perfect, by your church attendance, by how many times you pray, by how much you read. Listen, no matter how many good things you do, it will never be enough to earn your way into heaven. No, your good works will never be good enough. And all the while you try to strive and strain and work and hustle to please God, you will come up short every single time. God is not impressed with your good deeds or mine. He is impressed by the faith of a humble, repentant sinner who says, Lord, I need you and I accept the finished work of your Son on the cross. Tonight, you can rest in blessed assurance, knowing that the blood of Jesus was enough for you. You don't have to leave this church tonight with doubt or turmoil in your soul, wondering, will I make it to heaven? Will I be saved? When you trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ and his rugged cross, you can rest assured that the price has been paid. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 3, he renews my strength and he guides me along the right paths, bringing honor to his name. I love this right here. The Bible says in verse 3, he renews my strength. Today in America, we think that Cancun and 8 days on the beach is what renews my strength. We think that trip to the mountains is what renews my strength. The Bible says he, Jehovah Raha, the Lord your shepherd, renews your strength. Now look, church, this is powerful because I'm so not interested in just preaching religious rhetoric to you. I want to help you. I want the word of God to unfold and come alive before you. I want you to walk out of this place with tangible, practical application that will change your life. When the word says that he gives you strength, what the word is saying is that in the presence of God, your strength is renewed. In his presence, your soul is refreshed. That word Jehovah Raha, that second part, Raha, it means to feed, to nourish, to supply. In that name, Jehovah, the Lord, Raha, you are the Lord who supplies me. You are the Lord who feeds me. You are the Lord who refreshes me, who nourishes my soul. My strength is found in you, in your presence. Here, let me just boil it right down real simple. The Bible is telling you that when you worship the Lord from your weakness, he restores your strength. When you come to the presence of the Lord and you're empty, that's the best time to come because it's in his presence as you worship that you find your strength. When you pour out your praise and you pour out your breath, emptying yourself as an offering before God, he refreshes you, he restores you, and he revives your soul. In his presence, my strength is renewed. I couldn't help, but when I thought of that point, connected back to the author of Psalm 23, David. David knew about the Lord my shepherd because he was a shepherd. One of my favorite things about David, as I thought about this, your presence renews my strength. There was a story in David's life where he's an army commander and he has led his men out on battle to subdue and conquer Israel's enemies. They left their wives and their children at home in the camp of Ziklag. And as David and his men came back to the village of Ziklag after they had been in battle, they saw smoke billowing from the horizon. And they came back to that village of Ziklag, and they saw that all their possessions had been stolen. Their tents had been burned, and their wives and their children were missing. David's men turn on him. And they decide, we're gonna stone David. We're gonna kill him. Our leader, we're gonna kill him. Because if we had not followed him, we would have been here to protect our children and our wives. So as they prepare to stone their leader, David, the Bible says that David sat down on the ashes of Ziklag and he encouraged himself in the Lord. Somebody needs to hear what I'm saying tonight. David encouraged himself in the Lord. There might be days in your life where there's nobody there to encourage you. There might be moments and seasons of your life where there's nobody to throw their arm around you and tell you it's gonna be okay. There might be moments when everybody who depends on you turns on you and you've got to encourage yourself in the Lord. Listen, at the point of David's weakness, at the point where he felt like giving up, where he was empty and about to die, the Bible tells us that he encouraged himself in the Lord. How did David encourage himself? Great question, glad you asked. He was a worshiper, and David, from the ashes of Ziklag, he lifted up his eyes to where his help came from, and he began to worship Jehovah Raha. You are the Lord, my shepherd. You are the Lord who defends me. You protect me. He worshiped from the ashes and found his strength renewed in the presence of the Lord. And David got up out of those ashes and led his men back into battle. They found their enemies and they captured everything that the enemy had stolen. All of their wives, all of their children and possessions. They not only took back what belonged to them, but they took the plunder of their enemies and became even richer because the Lord renewed their strength. Somebody needs to hear me tonight. There might be a moment in your life where you've got to encourage yourself in the Lord. You do so when you begin to worship and when you begin to bless and praise his name. You believe what I'm saying tonight? I have never one time worshiped and praise the name of God and left depressed. I have never known a person to praise God and say, man, you know, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I've never known one person to really praise the Lord and say, man, that was a horrible decision. No, because in the presence of the Lord, your strength is renewed. Verse 4, there's only 6, so we're doing good. Look at your neighbor, tell him we're doing good. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Well, this is good. This takes the prosperity gospel and this message that you're supposed to be healthy, wealthy, and blessed and prosperous, and it takes that theology and it just drop kicks it and punts it like 100 yards. It really does. Here's why. Because the Bible is saying you are a sheep and you are being led by a shepherd. Verse 4 says, there will be days when you walk through low places. There will be moments when you walk through dark places. In other words, your life is not always going to be 75 and sunny. And the danger with this prosperity message is that people believe when they're in a valley, God is angry with them or they've done something to cause the wrath of God to be poured out on them. And they begin to think that God has severed himself from them because of the circumstances around them. Let me help iron that out. The Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust alike. Psalm 23:4 says that you will walk through dark valleys. You will experience frustration, failure, rejection, death, suffering, and loss. All of us at some point in our life will walk through a low, dark valley. Some of you in this church tonight, you may be walking through that season right now. But I want you to be encouraged. And I want you to know him not just as God. I want you to know him as Jehovah Raha, the Lord my shepherd. Because even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you need not fear any evil, for he is with you. He is at your right hand. He sticks closer than any brother. The Lord God Almighty is with you. And you may walk through perilous days, but you will never face them alone. If you are thankful for a God who is Emmanuel, God with you in your trouble, I wish you praise him like you mean it. You see, we want God to take us out of our trouble. We want God to lift us out of our circumstance. But God wants to do you even better. He wants to be with you through it all, because there's lessons in that valley that prepare you for your destiny. There's lessons in that disappointment that prepare you for the mission that God has for your life. There's a lesson in the valley. God's not gonna just airdrop you out. He is gonna walk with you every step of the way. And while I'm here, let me tell you real quick the lesson that you learn in the valley. The lesson overarching that every human learns or should learn in the valley is that you are utterly dependent on God. 2020 is a valley. You're walking through a valley. Have you learned it yet? That you're a sheep in need of a shepherd. You are not in control. You are dependent upon God. It is in him that we live, move, and have our being. That's the lesson of the valley. Also, can I just tell you about your God real quick? The Bible says that he draws near to the brokenhearted. If I'm being honest, people have a tendency to run from the brokenhearted, right? You see somebody crying, and you're like, oh, not for me today. See you later. When we see heartbreak and when we see trouble, we're like, this is not for me. But when the Lord sees your tears and when the Lord sees your brokenness, he doesn't recoil away from you. No, he draws near to the brokenhearted. What a God. What a Savior. While I'm here, some of the valleys and some of the dark places that you're walking through, the Lord didn't lead you there. You found it all on your own. Oh, I'm preaching tonight. I really am right now. I'm all up in your business. See, because you were with me till that. You were like, yeah, the Lord, he's gonna be with me. Yeah, but sometimes you, like a sheep, left his path and you're out here in the valley like a sheep in the snare, trapped, and you did that all by yourself. You know you shouldn't have dated her. You know you shouldn't have dated him. You know you should have deleted that number. You know you shouldn't have gone that weekend, but you did it anyway, and now you're in a valley. You're in a valley. And don't try to put it on the Lord. Oh, well, you know, I'm just following. No, you are not following the Lord. What did Isaiah say? All of us, but here's the thing, we laugh because we all know that one person that keeps self-inflicting their own battles, you know what I mean? They're their own worst enemy. But the truth is, Isaiah said, we're all in that category, me included. And you know, the amazing thing about the Good Shepherd is that even though you might be in a valley that you created, you might be in a dark place because you ignored his word and did your own thing, he is still the good shepherd who will leave the 99 to pursue that one. He is still with you. He is still pursuing you with arms wide open, saying, return to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. God has not given up on you. I need to talk to somebody tonight. You think that you have run too far. You think that you have sinned too greatly. You think that your reputation is too tarnished for God to even be concerned about you. And I want you to know tonight that you cannot run far enough. What can separate you from the love of God? Would it be height, depth, width? Nothing can separate you from the love of God. He is a God who is a good shepherd. He's Jehovah Raha, who pursues you every step of the way. Verse 6 says this, surely your goodness and your mercy have pursued me all the days of my life. Look at that. Surely your goodness and your unfailing love have pursued me all the days of my life. You know what that's saying? Even when you ran, I still pursued you. Even when you were addicted, I still loved you. Even when you rejected me and you blasphemed my name, even when you denied me, I still loved you and my goodness pursues you. I am the good shepherd. Somebody needs to praise the name of the Lord right there. You see, he doesn't pursue you because you're deserving. He doesn't save you because in this deep, dark crevice of your life, there's something redeemable there. Like, I used to really have the theology that I thought God saved me and God pursued me because deep down, there was something really good inside of me. Nope. Romans chapter 3 says there is nothing good inside of us. We have all sinned and we've all abandoned God. None of us are truly seeking him. None of us are truly righteous. And when there was nothing good inside of me, he loved me anyway. He pursued me anyway. And while there was nothing good in you, he loved you anyway. See, anybody can love you at your best. But he is the God who loves you at your worst. He's the God who saw you at your lowest valley and died for you anyway. Earth has never known a love like this. This is the love of God. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the good news, and it is the hope of the world. We get ourselves into all kinds of trouble. But thank God we have a merciful shepherd. Verse 5, what I'm about to show you is my favorite. All right, so just elbow your neighbor and tell him to lean in right here. We're at verse 5, so you know we're landing this plane. We're coming in hot right here. Verse 5, you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies, and you honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. My God. Honestly, as a pastor, I've read this verse and I've studied it for years, but it's not until really studying for this series that I truly understood what that verse really means. I'm gonna share it with you now. The Bible says that the good shepherd, Jehovah Raha, prepares a table. A banquet, not just a table, a banquet before you in the presence of your enemies. In order for this to hit you like it needs to, I've got to get you all the way back. You got to understand the shepherding culture thousands of years ago because the audience then understood it perfectly, but we are a little slower because time, space, and distance. But anyway, listen. A shepherd who's taking care of his flock as darkness approaches, as dusk is setting, he will find a gated area to take his sheep into. And if he's out in the wilderness, he will look for a thicket, which is basically a bunch of briars and thorns that are secure on every side And then he'll create just an opening, just big enough for the sheep to go in for the night. And the shepherd, a good shepherd, would find a thicket in the wilderness, create that opening, and then guide all of his sheep into this area just before darkness to keep them safe from the predators that roamed around them. And what would happen is the sheep, once they were safe inside of this area, they would begin to eat again and graze, because y'all know you're like a sheep. You're always hungry. You're always ready to go. And the sheep would dine in safety. They would have a banquet, a feast before them in the presence of their predators. The lion, the wolves, the sheep, the bear. They could come close enough and see the sheep, but the hedge of thorns and the fence kept them at bay. The enemies could watch the sheep, longing to devour them, but there was a fence there, a thicket that kept them at bay. Do you see it? We have a picture of one I would like to show you really quickly. Just take a look at this. This is a more sophisticated one, but this is an actual area that a shepherd would take the sheep into, and the enemies would watch the sheep eat and could do nothing about it. You know why they couldn't do anything about it? See that opening in the middle? See it? There was only one way in, and there was only one way out. You know what a good shepherd would do? As the sun set over the horizon and the sheep were all in that enclosed area, the shepherd himself would stretch himself out at night over the opening, over the threshold, over the gate into that secured area. And the shepherd himself became the door that kept the predators at bay. That's why the sheep could eat a banquet right before them in the presence of their enemies. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter, he said, "I am the door. I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life." He is the good shepherd who lays his life down for his sheep. And he himself keeps your predators, keeps the enemy at bay from your life. And he rolls out a beautiful banquet before you in the presence of your enemies. The enemy of your soul longs to steal, kill, and destroy you. Oh, and he can get close, but he can only come so far because the good shepherd is lying in the way. He is the door. And he tells your enemies, you can only come so far. Do you see? There's a little magnificent glimmer of God's nature that you see right here, where the Lord almost provokes the enemy. And he says, you can watch him eat, but you're gonna starve. You'll watch me bless them, but you're gonna die. You can watch me shield them, but I am their defender and their refuge. I want you to know tonight that there is an enemy, there is an adversary of your soul who wants to destroy you and sift you like wheat. He wants to cause you to denounce Christ and to give up on your faith. And you have no idea how much the Lord has gone through just to give you one peaceful, uneventful day in your life. Because as you go throughout your normal, mundane life, the Lord has provided for you, and he alone holds back your enemy. The greatest picture of this, Jesus being the door, is the cross of Calvary. 2,000 years ago, on Calvary's cross, the good shepherd laid down his life for you and I. As the band comes back to help me close tonight, On that rugged cross, the good shepherd gave up his life as a ransom for many. And the blood of Jesus is your shield. It is your covering. It is your protection. Tonight, I hope when you leave this church, you leave seeing a glimpse of God that maybe you've never seen before. He is not just my God. He is Jehovah Raha. He is the Lord, my shepherd. In closing, there's one last thing that it says here. It says that you anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. The Bible tells us that the good shepherd not only becomes the door, he not only prepares a feast for his lambs in the presence of the enemy, but the Bible also says that he anoints you with oil. And when we read that, it kind of seems a little odd. But again, to this agricultural society, they would have understood it perfectly. What I'm going to share with you is a little bit gruesome, but it's powerful. It's transformative. Shepherds would take oil and they would cover the head of the sheep with it. They would cover their ears, cover their nostrils and their eyelids with oil. Because one of the greatest dangers to the health of a sheep were insects, flies specifically, that would come and embed. This is a little gross, but they would lay eggs in any opening, any gate, any ear, any nostril, any part of the sheep that it could. But the oil that the shepherd would put over the sheep repelled the insects and it repelled the flies. And it kept them from laying their eggs in the ears and the nostrils of the sheep. And that may sound super weird to you and to me, but here's the power. In the Old Testament, the Bible calls Satan Beelzebub, which means the Lord of the flies. And the enemy wants to embed his thoughts and influence in your life, primarily in the things you listen to, in the things you watch. And what starts as something little or insignificant or seemingly harmless, the enemy, those eggs eventually give life and multiply wickedness. Tonight, I believe that this is a powerful message that tells you, be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you take into your ears. Be careful what you take into your eyes. Be careful what you allow into your heart. Be careful, because the enemy wants to plant thoughts and ideas and influence. And it may seem harmless now, but one day it leads to infection, which leads to death. And the good shepherd would anoint the sheep with the oil. And it was a very costly process, but he would do it to protect them from the attack of the enemy. That oil also brought healing, and it would bind up the wounds of the sheep. You have a good shepherd tonight who wants to anoint you in his spirit. He wants to cover you in his word. He wants to protect you from the attacks of the enemy. Father, tonight we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the power of the gospel. Pray that you would move in this room tonight. I pray that you would touch every heart and every life. And Lord, I pray that we would walk out of this room today changed forever by your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. As I wind this sermon completely to a close, I cannot stop this without telling you this. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells you this, that there will be a great judgment where all the nations will stand before his throne. And the good shepherd, he literally says it in Matthew 25, the good shepherd will be seated on the throne. And he will divide the sheep from the goats. the goats on his left and the sheep on the right. And to the sheep, he will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was lonely, you visited me. They said to the good shepherd, to Jesus, they said, when do we ever see you like that? He said, such as you've done to the least of these, so you've done it unto me. Then he looks at the goats and he says to them, where were you when I was in need? Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. And he cast the goat into the lake of fire. Now listen, at the day of judgment, every one of you will be tried before the good shepherd. And you will either be a sheep or you will be a goat on that day. Everyone will fall in one of two categories. There is no such thing as being apathetic, being lukewarm, being in both parties. No, you will on that day, you will either be found to be a sheep or a goat. And you know what the difference is? Biologically, they say that goats are smarter, they're more independent, they're more self-reliant, they're more curious, and they go and do their own thing. But the sheep recognize that they are helpless and in need and dependent. Here's what it means. Every person who has repented of their sin and relying on Jesus Christ to save your soul, you are a sheep. You belong to him. He is your shepherd. But to everyone who is too proud, too intelligent, who has it all figured out, too self-reliant, to everyone who refuses to repent before God, to everyone who refuses to trust in the finished work of the cross, to you, you will hear, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you, meaning you were never mine. You never followed me. You never trusted me. You never yielded yourself to me. Tonight, you can walk out those doors knowing beyond the shadow of a doubt that you are saved, that you are a sheep, that you belong to him. I want you to pray this prayer with me from the bottom of your heart. If you're watching online, I want you to pray this with me tonight. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus and we repent before you today. We admit that we're sinful, wicked people in need of you. And tonight, we respond in faith, saying that we believe that Jesus Christ is enough. His death on the cross washes away my sin. He died and 3 days later was resurrected from the dead. And now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Lord, forgive us, save us, wash us in the blood of Jesus. And tonight, empower us by your Spirit to serve you and follow you all the days of our life. It is in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Hey, if you enjoyed today's podcast, click that subscribe button, share this podcast on social, or even take a screenshot from your story and tag us. We'd love to hear how the Lord is using this podcast to bless your life. You can send an email to info@visionchurch.com, or you can DM us on social with a story of how God is moving in your world. Also, we'd like to thank those who invest in our ministry financially. It's because of your sacrifice that we are able to publish this every week. If you would like to join in giving to our ministry, you can click the link in the description or visit visionchurch.com and click the Give tab. Thanks again for listening. God bless.